Our first scripture reading for this evening is found in Psalm 50. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 50. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 15. It's found on page 555 in our Black Pew Bibles. Psalm 50, and we're going to read verses 10 through 15. If you are joining with us as a congregation, we have just finished our series on the Ten Commandments, seeing how the commandments are a gift, that they are given to us to be a reflection of who we are in Christ, and that our obedience to them flows from a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. Now we are transitioning to prayer. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer and its various petitions, but we're going to start today with Lord's Day 45, which is introducing the subject of prayer. So Psalm 50 at verse 10, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." It's this calling upon the Lord in the day of trouble, which prayer is. It's calling upon the name of the Lord. So before we read our text from Matthew, let's sing again from number 92. In our blue psalter hymnals, number 92. And we're going to stand together and sing 1, 3, 4, and 6. So number 92, 1, 3, 4, and 6, standing to sing. The mighty God. Let's now turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. As you know, the first book of the New Testament. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is going to be instructing us on how we are to pray and how we are not to pray, the wrong way to pray as well. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 5 through 13. Matthew 6, 5 through 13, that's page 938. Matthew 6 at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's as far as we're reading in Matthew chapter 6. Then I invite you to turn with me in the back of your blue Psalter hymnals to page 57. As I said before, we are beginning our series on the subject of prayer with our introduction. Next week will be on the opening of the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. But today we're going to read what is prayer, how we are to pray, what's the purpose of prayer, and its proper use. So Lord's Day 45, question and answer 116 says, why do Christians need to pray? The answer is because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. 117 asks, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what he promised us in his word. And finally, what did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us, which is the Lord's Prayer. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, although we often sing of the sweet hour of prayer, the fact is prayer can often be overlooked. It is very easy to fall into a repetition, and I think as our cadets sitting here will probably confess, if I were to ask you, why do you pray, perhaps your answer will be because mom and dad tell me to pray. I pray because I'm told I must pray. Well, today we are going to see that being instructed to pray is not necessarily a bad thing. That God himself teaches us, instructs us, tells us that we need to pray. If prayer is, as the Catechism says, our response to God's mercy, if prayer flows from a thankful heart, what do our prayers say about us? How thankful are we if our prayers are a reflection of our gratitude? Indeed, what is important to us will be made evident in what we pray for. Well, today we are going to, as I said before, begin our look at, at prayer and the various aspects of prayer. You may have learned once upon a time that the aspects of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, all of these various aspects come together. But our focus this evening is on the purpose of prayer. Why should we pray? What should we pray for? How should we pray? So prayer is part of our gratitude. You'll look at these sections in Lord's Day 45. Where are we in the catechism? We're in the third section, which deals with our thanksgiving. Earlier, we looked at the Ten Commandments, which give for us the law. So when we put these two together, we find that the section of the catechism, which is the gratitude section, is composed of the Ten Commandments and prayer. So in many ways, the summary of the life of gratitude is obeying God's commands and praying to Him. That's how a Christian is known to be grateful. Christian prayer, arising from a grateful heart, is the pinnacle of a godly response to the work of Jesus Christ within us. Prayer is the communication, our response to God. Prayer itself is a gift, as we will see, but prayer responds to the gifts that God has given to us. We know that in dysfunctional families, families that have no love, there will be no communication. Parents and children who have their relationship hindered, when there is a hostility there, there will be no good communication. But in a good, loving, proper family, we expect good communication. So if we are, in fact, children of God, if He is our Heavenly Father, we expect communication to take place. Well, today we are going to consider this theme, that Jesus Christ both opens the way and teaches us how to pray. We start then with the why of prayer. What is the motivation? What things should motivate us, move us, drive us to prayer? Well, prayer is, to begin with, a response to what God has given to us. The first reason why we will pray is because we are thankful. Thankful. Gratitude. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of praise." Now, the sacrifice of praise that we offer is not a bull or a goat. You'll think of the altar of that burnt offering as a raising up a sweet-smelling sacrifice, an offering to the Lord. We do not offer animals, but rather we offer ourselves and our words. Prayer rises from a heart that desires to say, "Thank you. Thank you, God, for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you have given to us." Even before we start to ask God for something, we start by saying something to God, which is, "Thank you." This is very instructive, because I know in my own prayers, the first thing that comes to mind is what I need, what I want, what I think is important, but what should be first is thanking God, praising God, rejoicing in what God has already given. God's glory, His honor, the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." How much better our prayers would be if we started with adoration and thanksgiving. Prayer reveals our priorities. Prayer is one of the most direct ways that we can tell God very clearly how thankful we are and what we are thankful for. But there is another reason why we are to pray, and that's because God tells us, "You need to pray." Verse 15, we read this in Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." It's a command, Colossians chapter 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. God says to His people, "You need to pray." It's not only our desire, but it's something which God demands, asks, requests of us. Be people of prayer. Indeed, that's how we will be known in this world. My people will be known as people of prayer. We need to pray because God has said, "I need to hear from you, my child. We also know that we need to pray because we are in need. We need to pray because we are needy people. Jesus himself said that. If you knock on the door, it will be opened. If you ask, you will receive. James 4 says, you aren't getting because you're not asking. We need to ask God for the things that he has told us to ask for. So the third reason we need to pray is because we need the things God tells us we need, and the way that God gives them to us, the means God uses to give us them, is when we ask, which is by prayer. Question and answer 116 says this: the most important part of prayer is that it is coming from a heart of thankfulness. This is question and answer 116, but also because God gives his grace and spirit to those who pray continually and groan inwardly for them. Now, this raises a very important point. If we, as God's people, know how much we need his grace and we need his spirit, then we will ask God to give us the things that he has promised to give when we pray. In prayer, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer is an act of the Spirit working within us. And here we see these two concepts being married together. In prayer, we are asking God to fill us with his Spirit. And in that very prayer, the Spirit is working within us, filling us with his presence. We pray that God would give us a greater measure of his Spirit. And in prayer, it is in prayer that the Spirit's presence is being manifested, becoming Spirit-filled people. The Holy Spirit sealing us, adopting us. The Spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father. The Spirit putting into words the very groans of our heart. The Spirit is the great enabler in prayer. So if we want more of the Holy Spirit, and I think everybody here would say, yes, I want more of the Holy Spirit, where should we go to find the Spirit? What means should we use to ask God to give us the Spirit? We pray because we know we need what God has promised to give through prayer. The fact is, we can do nothing for God, and we have nothing which God has not given. We are completely dependent on his hand of mercy. The reason I started our reading in Psalm 50, verse 10, is because I wanted to remind us all. Psalm 50, verse 10 says, the cattle on a thousand hills, everything belongs to me. Everything we have has been given to us by God. So if we don't want to be ungrateful, if I would even say we do not want to steal, then we need to ask God for what we need, for all things necessary. We are so poor and needy. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Our body and soul, our very existence, depends on the pleasure of our good God, and we ask God because we need what he alone can give. Prayer leads to dependence. Dependence on God, and an acknowledgement that all things come to us from his hand. But how should we pray? If prayer comes from a heart that is thankful, if prayer is necessary because God requires it, if prayer is necessary because of our great need, our dependence upon God, how will we pray? What is the attitude of our heart? Well, question and answer 117 then opens for us. How should we pray? In a way that God will listen. This also is very telling, instructive. There is a wrong way to pray. There is a way to pray in which God will not listen. God said this many times to the prophets, I wish they would stop bringing their offerings. I wish they would stop trampling in the temple. I have shut my ears. I have closed my ears. There is a wrong way to pray, but there is a right way to pray. Well, how does God want us to pray? Well, God says, I want you to pray, first of all, from the heart. Praying from the heart means that your prayer is serious. It is a longing, a yearning. It is a hungering and thirsting. It is a heartfelt desire that we eagerly want and desire what we are praying for. There is a seriousness, an ardent nature in our prayer. There is an aspect of struggle in your prayer. It's work. I think this is an encouragement for us all. Prayer is work. Sometimes prayer flows from us freely. We're so filled with adoration and thanksgiving, it just flows forth from our lips like a spring. But other times, prayer is hard. We struggle with ourselves. We struggle with our old nature. We struggle with our sin. Yet we tune our hearts, acknowledging that we are coming before the throne of the Almighty God. And this is something that not only children, but it's necessary for us all to remember, that prayer is not something we ramble off before we eat our food or we do this repetitious prayer before we go to bed. Prayer is approaching God. Prayer is holy work. By the Spirit, we are brought up into the heavenly courtrooms. We are ushered into the very presence of the triune God. God is in heaven, Ecclesiastes 5 says. You are on earth, so let your words be few. Acknowledge what prayer is, and that will have a dramatic impact on how we pray. But not only are we to pray with a seriousness, meaning the words that we pray, we are also to pray with simplicity. This is what Jesus was teaching us in Matthew 6, verse 7, where we read these words, don't pray like the hypocrites, but rather when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard with their many words, but rather pray simply to our Father who art in heaven. The beauty of the Lord's Prayer is its simplicity. A little child can pray it. Two-year-olds, three-year-olds are taught to pray these simple words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Gentiles were known for heaping up their magic words and special phrases in order to gain God's attention. But Jesus says, don't be like them. Pray with simplicity, but also pray with humility. Not like the proud a Pharisee that boasted in his heart, thanking God that he wasn't like everybody else, but the humility of the sinner, the tax collector that beat his breast and cried out for mercy. And God had pity on that sinner, Luke 18 says. So we pray with humility, acknowledging our need. This is question and answer 117. Secondly, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. Starting with adoration, praising God, and following that with confession, acknowledging your sin and misery. Think about it. If we don't know your need, why would you pray? If you don't know how absolutely dependent you are, will you be moved, motivated to pray? The one who has everything in their own power, everything at their own disposal, will not be inclined to ask others for aid. But the one who knows that they are poor and needy, desperate, will cry out for aid. And that's our position. We are poor and needy. So we pray with humility, but we also pray acknowledging that we are standing in the presence of a holy God, praying for his glory and not the glory of men. That's what Jesus was teaching in verse 6, Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. The hypocrites and the Pharisees were known to make these rather large, very flowery prayers in order to gain the attention of those who heard and those who were listening. But Jesus says, do not pray for the attention of man, but rather pray to the one true God. Question answer 117 then concludes, resting on that unshakable foundation that God will surely listen to our prayers. God is the recipient of our prayers, not fellow men. In your prayers, remember, you are not praying to tickle the ears of those who may be listening, but you are praying to God himself, the very one God who is and who knows what you need. The God of the Bible, proper prayer is prayer built on the truth, prayer with knowledge, not a blind superstition. That's one of the things that we see so often in our world. You may have, if you watch the news or you see these traumatic events that unfold, people who have never darkened the door of the church, who don't know anything about God, cry out to an unknown God. And then when they are saved or delivered, they say, well, I'm so glad I prayed because God has delivered me. But they don't even know the God upon whom they call. That's not the prayer of a Christian. A Christian knows the God whom they call. And since we know this God, we can pray in faith and confidence. Our prayer is with confidence. This is awe-inspiring that a Christian prays not with fear, not with this sinking suspicion that they will not be heard, but a confidence knowing their prayers will surely be heard and answered. This is just a brief summary of this teaching, but listen to what Hebrews 10 says. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, in Jesus Christ we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Hebrews chapter 11, they come to him and believe that he exists. There is good news for us because we can trust that our prayers will be heard and answered through Jesus Christ. Christ has opened the door. That curtain which formed a separation, a barrier, has been torn in two. Christ is right now at the hand of his Father, our Father. We pray to his Father and to our Father, acknowledging that our prayers are brought and are received. God delights to hear the prayers of his people. There is another perspective, and that is persistence. Another aspect to a Christian prayer is persistence. Because we have a boldness and a confidence, we have a persistence. That's like that persistent widow in Luke. The widow that continually went to the unjust judge and cried out again and again for justice. And the judge finally gave the persistent widow what she cried for. If that unjust judge heard and answered the request of the widow, will not surely our Heavenly Father hear and answer our requests? We do not need to convince God or persuade God. Our prayers are a sweet-smelling aroma in his sight. So we ask, we seek, we knock, knowing that the door will be open. Jesus gives us this confidence, so we pray with persistence. And finally, the last aspect to how we pray is we pray with perspective. Praying with perspective means that sometimes what we want is not what God wants for us. Sometimes we pray for things which would be bad for us. Sometimes we pray for things that God knows we should not have. So when we pray for temporal things like health and food and physical blessings, we learn to pray on the condition of your will be done. We pray that as far as my supplications, as far as my desires align with God's glory and my good, may it be. Just for one example, if we are praying for a sick member of our family, we pray, Lord, you are faithful. I pray that it would be your will that this brother or our sister would have a return to strength and health. But Lord, not my will, your will be done. We submit our petitions to the goodness of our God, praying with the perspective Even Paul learned this. He had that thorn in his flesh, and he cried out, "Take this thorn away from me." And God said, "I'm not going to take that thorn away, but my grace is sufficient. My power is made evident through your weakness." Sometimes God's answer is simply, "My grace is sufficient. Learn to rely on me." Sometimes he says no to our prayers because he knows what we need. That's that perspective of patience, knowing that God's will is to be done. So now that we understand how we are to pray, finally in our third point, very briefly, we look at what we are to pray for. Question and answer 118 says, what did God command us to ask for? Simple answer, everything. What should you pray for? Everything. What do you need? Your Father knows what you need, Matthew 6, verse 8 says. Even before you ask it, God knows what you need, but he wants you to say it out loud so that when you get it, you know who gave it. God wants you to say, "Lord, today I need my daily bread," so that when God gives you your daily bread, you say, "Thank you, God. You gave it to me. You heard and answered my prayers." I think one of the reasons God wants us to pray is to continually remind us that he answers prayers, to remind us that everything we have is a gift from his hand. So we ask God for everything we need for our bodies, giving us our daily bread, and everything we need for our souls, giving us that heavenly bread that we celebrated last week. God made us into living beings made of body and soul. Both are important to our Heavenly Father. Both have been ransomed by Jesus Christ. Both will one day be resurrected and perfected. If he clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not also clothe and provide for us, his children? As long as we are called to walk here on this earth, we can pray with confidence, "Lord, give me this day everything I need. Provide everything I need for body and soul as long as I am called to live." And finally, what should we pray? We should pray with priority. Priority in our prayers. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't worry. Don't stress. Don't sweat over the things that you need for your body, because God knows that you need them. So proper priority in prayer reflects what we think is most pressing. What is most pressing is that we draw near to God, we be sanctified, and grow in his image. In this way, God calms our anxious hearts. We know that our lives are in his hands. Will he deny the Spirit? Will he deny his grace when his children call upon him with faith and confidence and persistence? Knowing that God hears and answers our prayers changes our priorities so that we learn to acknowledge God's glory must be first and our good is found in submission to that. He will deliver us. This is back from Psalm 50. Psalm 50 that we closed by saying, he will deliver us and we will glorify him. To conclude, Jesus here teaches the beauty of prayer as well as what to pray for. Christ has opened the door, enabling us to approach God directly. We don't need any other mediators or intercessors. We go directly to God through Jesus Christ. When we come to God in thankfulness and gratitude, acknowledging our need and misery, and coming with faith and confidence, we know that God will surely hear and answer our prayers. By keeping God's glory and honor first, our anxious hearts are quieted, and our fears are relieved. So let us, in this week to come, use prayer as it was designed to be, a communication, our response to God, asking God for what we need, and thanking God when he gives it to us. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ who teaches us how to pray, what to pray for, and the fact that Christ has opened the way for us to approach you directly. We pray, O Lord, that our prayers would not be done with vain repetition, would not be done for the praise of men, that our prayers would be full of humility, but also gratitude. May our prayers and petitions be a constant part of our lives. May we be faithful as we call upon you, O Lord. May we reflect the prayer that you have taught us through Jesus Christ, devoting ourselves to prayer and continuing steadfast in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.